again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. I'm inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF, your hometown radio station right there in Madison in North Florida. And all of you that are listening by computer anywhere in the United States, anywhere in the world, we welcome you back again. We pray this broadcast will be a very, very special blessing to you. It's certainly a blessing for us to be able to be communicators of this wonderful, wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ to all those who will hear it and to all to whom God will send it. Amen. We're so wonderfully, wonderfully blessed to be part of the process of the proclaiming of the gospel to the nations of the world. Praise God. So we're excited about the message today. We're going to be speaking about the Lord's Sabbath, the lifter of our head. And I can't hardly wait to get into it, but I do want to announce to you, if you would like to visit our website, have a statement of faith there that you'll know where we're coming from biblically, theologically. I pastor the Holy Church of God here in Tampa, and it is affiliated with the Independent Assemblies of God International, based in San Diego, California, have been affiliated in good standing since 1974. Praise God. Amen. And we're getting ready to celebrate our 37th year of being senior pastor of the Holy Church of God in January, and then just a couple of more months and we'll celebrate 48 years of marriage. God has been good to us, brought us through many strong trials and tests, and convinced us of His faithfulness, His mercy, and His grace. So you're going to hear today, when I talk about being lifted up in the Lord, I'm speaking from a standpoint of someone who has known the deep valleys in my walk with Him and discovered the wonderful lily of the valley. Praise God. Amen. So don't miss this broadcast today. We feel that it is an important message, whether you are in ministry or you're a new Christian, or even if you've been saved for many, many years. No one, and I repeat, no one, without exception, is exempt from discouragement. And we just want to bring you a message. If you find yourself, and sooner or later you will, in that circumstance, that even as a Christian, you'll know exactly what to do. Amen. That will allow God to reach down and lift you up. Praise the Lord. There's victory in Jesus today. Praise God. Amen. If you have your Bibles, in Psalm 3, if you will turn there. By the way, our webpage address is, just type in THCOG, take you to the Holy Church of God. You can download any of those materials that you feel would be a blessing to you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Psalm 3, listen carefully. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. Right here, David is saying, my God is the one who helps me when I am deeply discouraged. Listen to what else he said. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. He heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, this psalm was written, friends, when David was fleeing from Absalom, his own son, who had raised up an army of his own countrymen to destroy him and take his kingdom. So the enemy without was a factor, a military threat had come to David. And David had to literally flee for his life because they were coming to destroy him and take his kingdom from him. And there was a greater threat, and that was the emotional, spiritual threat within, that David would become so deeply discouraged and despondent that he wouldn't trust God for deliverance, and he would go down in bitter defeat. Friend of mine, this is why learning how to recover from deep discouragement is so vitally important to us. Even if you're a preacher, highly anointed and appointed to a high office spiritually, no one, and I repeat, no one, is above, through certain circumstances of life, falling into deep discouragement. The shield of faith doesn't keep you from ever becoming discouraged. It will, however, deliver you from it when it comes. Praise God. I want you to know something right now. We're all human beings. We don't lose our humanity no matter how highly anointed we become. This was an army of David's countrymen. This was not an alien army like the Philistines. This was the giant of discouragement because his own son was leading this army. This wasn't a giant Philistine warrior. How easily David defeated that giant. It was going to be a lot tougher to deal with this giant. But I want you to know that both giants fell because David kept his trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. There's victory in Jesus over the circumstance without and over the discouragement it creates within. Someone has said that discouragement is dissatisfaction with the past, distaste for the present, and distrust of the future. It is the result of blindness. It is ingratitude for the blessings of yesterday, indifference to the opportunities of today, and insecurity regarding strength for tomorrow. It is unawareness of the presence of God. It's unconcern for the needs of our fellow man. I want you to know if you're deeply discouraged today, your focus is on yourself and many windows of opportunity to minister effectively to others are going to pass you by. No wonder the enemy wants to discourage us and keep us in a state of discouragement. And it's unbelief in the promises of God's Word. And we have to be really honest about this. If we really stood on the promises of God's Word, we wouldn't ever be discouraged. We would have no reason to be. The Scripture said, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose." Praise God. There's so many promises. I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will go with you all the way, even unto the end of the age. No temptation has taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able to bear, who will with the temptation make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Friend of mine, discouragement will cause us to not cling to and claim these wonderful promises that would just lift us up and set us on our feet and put a song in our heart, a spring in our step, a praise upon our lips. But we find ourselves feeling the weakness of our own flesh and inability and becoming discouraged. And we need to learn how to rise up out of that. If we have nothing to rely on or forget our blessing and look to ourselves or our circumstances, then that is when discouragement begins to take hold. Instead, what we need is encouragement. We need hope and peace. And the knowledge that the Lord knows our troubles and He has great concern and compassion for us and is not leaving us unloved or uncared for. Keeping your eyes on Jesus is the first and best way to be encouraged. You know, it says in the New Testament, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, consider Him who suffered such a great contradiction against himself, lest you become weary and faint in your own mind. In him, friend, you can have comfort and peace and encouragement. You need to find him and his words, and by faith, rest in him. Because God is absolutely committed to deliver his people and then use our life experience to encourage others to trust him so he can deliver them as well. The greatest encouragers I have ever met are those who have trusted God through great valleys and fiery trials, and through their personal experiences are able to comfort and encourage others. I'm going to read you something today, amen, that maybe you'll understand why the devil puts such a premium on his ability to discourage people, because he knows what the result will be if we don't find an antidote for it. It was announced, someone said, that the devil was having a yard sale and would offer many of his tools for sale to whichever demon would pay his price. On the night of the sale, they were all attractively displayed. Even so, they were a sorry-looking lot. Malice, hatred, envy, jealousy, sensuality, and deceit, and all other implements of evil were spread out, each with its own price tag. Apart from the rest lay a harmless-looking wedge-shaped tool, much worn. This was priced higher than any of the others. Someone asked the devil, "What is that?" He said, "That is discouragement." "Why do you have it priced so high?" the prospective buyer inquired. "Because," answered the devil, "it's more useful to me than any of the others. I can pry open and get inside of a man's mind with that when I cannot get near him with any of the other tools I possess. Once I get inside his mind with discouragement, I can use him in whatever way suits me best. The reason this tool is so worn is that I can use it with nearly everybody, as very few people know it's coming from me." It hardly needs to be added that the devil's price for discouragement was beyond any price any other demon could pay, because this is the chief tool that he uses. It was never sold. Satan still owns it, and he still uses it very effectively. I wish I could tell you that I stood so strong down through the years on the promises of God that I never had to face the giant of discouragement. But I would be totally disingenuous and dishonest if I told you that. I don't want to ever imply that there is a place in faith where you are never discouraged, because there is no such place. You are limited by your flesh. Even though you are highly anointed and can be highly anointed of the Holy Spirit, we have to deal in reality with our emotional being. There's not a person listening to me that is above discouragement. And it doesn't matter what office you hold ministerially. Doesn't matter how great and deep the revelations you've had with God. There are places in your life and circumstances that can come that can greatly discourage you. But God is a God who can lift your head in those times. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. You have a great enemy in the devil. You have a greater ally in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So if you find yourself in deep discouragement, don't despair. There is hope and help, because David said, "The Lord is a shield for me. I don't have to fear thousands that have gathered against me without." But he's more than that. He's also my glory and the lifter of my head. You know, David said in one of his Psalms, when my heart is overwhelmed within me, not if, but when my heart is overwhelmed within me, lead me to that rock that is higher than I, for the Lord has been a shelter for me, and a refuge from my enemies. You know, when I first read that, I just assumed that he was looking for some close friend, some ally, some confidant to come alongside him, some armor bearer like Jonathan was. Someone to come alongside him and encourage him. Some other human being, some close friend. But you know, David even had friends forsake him. He said, if it were an enemy without, like for the Philistines, I could have handled it. I'm paraphrasing one of his psalms, but he said, it was someone that I ate a meal with, someone I went up to the temple with. Amen. That's where the heart is broken and becomes discouraged and despondent. David had to face the giant within, and it takes more than just an anointing that comes upon you to defeat this giant. It takes an exclusive trust in the Lord, and we have to trust Him from a standpoint of weakness and not strength to get His help. The Old Testament said, to them that hath no might, He increases strength. And the New Testament says, when I am weak, then am I made strong. For God's strength is perfected in weakness. Yes, there will be situations which cast us down, but we know what to do when those times come. I love the way the Apostle Paul worded it in his letter to the church at Corinth. He said, we would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble we experienced in Asia, how we were pressed beyond measure and despaired of life itself, that we might learn not to trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. A healthy self-distrust is necessary for God's true deliverance and His true strength to come to you and to me. I don't have self-confidence. That is to say, I don't trust myself after God lifts me up that I can stand in and of myself. But I have great confidence in God's grace, God's mercy, God's faithfulness to me. Praise the Lord. He has come time and time again to lift me from that place of discouragement. David said in one psalm, He lifted me from the miry clay. Isn't that incredible? That place that I can't extract myself from. That's why David said, when my heart is overwhelmed within me, he directed that to the Lord. You'll see it. You'll know it, Lord. Help me. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. You lift my head. Help me, Lord. Reach down into the dark and deep places of my valleys and lift me up, because you're my shield, you're my glory, and you, Lord, are the lifter of my head. Praise God. I wouldn't be here today, and I don't know if you realize it or not, old hoss, but you wouldn't be here today either if God hadn't lifted you time and time again. You can attribute that to your faith if you want to. Amen. My faith is in His faithfulness. Thank you. And I fully realize what Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. It's grace that is received and appropriated out of our admission of weakness and need that God comes through and supports us and lifts us. You know, they looked at all the miracles of these apostles, and Paul said, not that we are sufficient as of anything of ourself, for our sufficiency is of the Lord. Hallelujah. He was saying the same thing, except the Lord had come through, except the Lord had reached down, except the Lord had lifted us up, we would have been consumed and destroyed. Our faith is in His faithfulness. Our faith is in His mercy and His sustaining grace. Hallelujah. Amen. And while I have no confidence in myself today, I have great confidence in my God in me. Hallelujah. And I'm going to make a statement out of no self-confidence that Paul made. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise God. That means I'm equal to anything. Amen. No matter what comes and what circumstances arrive, His grace is sufficient. And only people that have come to an end of themselves will ever make that discovery. Amen. Paul found out that grace was the great strength that sustained him. Not just holy anointings and great revelations, but grace, God's mercy and love that wrapped him up when the trouble came. Jesus was in the midst of the fiery furnace, and that's why those three Hebrew boys came through that fiery trial. For it was his presence, his grace, his mercy. Hallelujah. Friend, today I want you to know fiery trials are real. They are threatening, they are terrorizing, and they can be absolutely so discouraging and demoralizing that we can get into a place that we can't extract ourselves from with all of our revelations and anointings. And it's in those places that we discover how faithful and merciful and loving our God is. It's in those places where the greatest spiritual growth takes place. Because it's in those places that we seek God so exclusively and desperately that we not only find our help and hope in Him, we get to know Him intimately and personally. You know what the Bible said? It said in the Old Covenant, "They that do know their God will be strong and do exploits." That's why there's a book of Acts in the New Testament. Jesus has ascended. He sat down at the right hand of God, and the Jesus ministry is going right on and without even a hitch. Amen. The works that He did, they were doing. Praise God. Amen. And that's why we have the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Praise the Lord, because they came to know Him. That was the quest of the Apostle Paul, with all of his credentials and spiritual experiences and anointings and appointings. He still had a desire to know Christ more intimately and more personally. And he said, "Oh, that I might know Him in the fellowship of His sufferings, that I might also know Him in the power of His resurrection." Amen. The secret of real spiritual strength and power that brings deliverance is to acknowledge how weak we are in ourselves, but at the same time proclaim how strong we are because of God's faithfulness. Praise the Lord. David said some things that we need to say today. Amen. David praised to the Lord in faith when he found himself discouraged. And he said, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me from His holy hill." David said, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me from His holy hill." You see, you don't have to be on a mountaintop shouting victory every moment for God to hear your cry in the day of trouble. You don't have to be standing in perfect faith without any discouragement troubling you for God to listen to you. David said, "Listen, amen, I am in a place here that is very threatening. I'm in a place here that I can't in and of myself solve or resolve these issues around me circumstantially without and personally within. But I cried unto the Lord, and He heard me." Make no mistake about it. If you got trouble in your life, if you're in trouble, if your faith is shaking, God is not going to fold His arms and wait for you to just stand in perfect faith before He reaches down into that valley of discouragement. He knows your frame. He knows you are but dust. I hope you still realize that today. You know, it was said that Julius Caesar, after leading his army to great victories, a great victory parade was being held as he came back to Rome as a conquering king, taking nation after nation. He's riding before a Roman legions, and he's riding in a chariot drawn by six white horses, and the people are looking at him as a god, and he's receiving the allocates of all of those people. And it is said that one of his close advisors that was riding right behind him in the chariot, in the same chariot, stood, tapped him on the shoulder, and said, "Remember, Caesar, thou art but a man." And I think everyone who preaches the gospel, everyone who's been anointed by the mighty Holy Spirit and seen God do wonderful things through their life and ministry, needs the Holy Spirit to tap them on the shoulder and to say, "Remember. Remember, preacher. Remember, evangelist. Remember, you are but a man. You are but a woman." And without Christ, amen, who is the vine, the branch removed, apart from Him, what can we do? We can do absolutely nothing. It is vital that we remain constant in our dependence upon the Lord for everything. Our faith is in God, not in our faith. Praise the Lord. If it wasn't for God's faithfulness, I'll tell you straight up, the devil would have sifted me a long time ago. You know, Jesus said something to Peter. I want to say this in these closing moments. He said, "Peter, Satan had desired to have you that he might sift you as the wheat." I looked that up and studied it a little more closely, and that word "you" is in the plural. It meant you all, and I'm not just saying that because I'm in the South today. I'm saying that because every Christian, he was saying, "Peter, this doesn't just involve you. Satan just doesn't want to take you out because you are so special and so anointed. He wants to take out all of you, all believers. But I have prayed for you, all of you." That includes you and me today, friend, in the prayer of Jesus. "I have prayed for all of you, that your faith would not fail. And when you are converted," in other words, you keep your trust in me, "and when you're converted, when you become another man, when you become not this vacillating man that's halting so many times between two opinions, but when you become a real, strong, dedicated, devoted servant of mine, in spite of your own weaknesses and the devil's intentions, then I want you to strengthen your brethren, because you will have been there and you'll know exactly how to talk to them about coming through the deep discouragement that sometimes comes when you fail your best intentions and you feel unworthy to even serve God anymore." Peter said, "Listen, if God can pull me through, lift me up, set me back on my feet, He can do it for you today." Amen. Hallelujah. And I can tell you today from personal experience, having faced this giant many, many times, and expect to face this giant many more times before this journey is over, that we serve a God who is faithful today. Keep your trust in Him. Cry unto Him. Call unto Him when you don't feel like praying. Call unto Him, even if you don't feel like He will listen, because He will. David said, "I cried unto the Lord, He heard me." He heard me. He loves me. He cares about me, even when I'm discouraged. And He's my glory, my shield. He's the lifter of my head. Well, we love you today. Will you come back next week right here on WMAF and let's talk about Jesus? And if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, would you bow your head right now in these closing seconds and say, "Jesus, Jesus, I don't want to live another day without your love, your grace, your mercy, your deliverance, your salvation. I repent of my sins. I want to come home to you." Oh, would you do that, friend? God will come, and that right early, and save you. We love you. See you next week.